And the Word of God is the most important thing for us, isn't it? Would you mind standing for the reading of the Word? I read to you from Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through to 14. Would you follow with me? Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him." Did I read it right? "Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there." Listen to this now. He says, "We will worship and then we will come back." He doesn't say, "I will come back." "We will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father, Daddy." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered him, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Isaac is about 20 years old, and Isaac complies. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. And now, this is the verse we'll dwell on today. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." Turn to someone and say, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." And please take your seat. This morning I want to preach on the topic, "I'm all in." It's a gambling term. If you're a gambler, I'm all in. I'm putting everything I have in. You would probably never be told to kill your own child. I imagine it's just the worst thing anyone could ever have to do. The sort of thing that only happens in nightmares. In Abraham's case, it was arguably worse than normal, because his son, Isaac, was the one he was waiting for. The miracle child, the child of promise, the one through whom the entire world would be blessed. Yet, here is Abraham, up on a mountain in Palestine, in 1800 BC, tying his son down to an altar and preparing to sacrifice him. He's about to kill his only son. If we stop the story there, it's pretty remarkable, isn't it? What would you do if you heard God tell you to sacrifice your only child? You'd probably ignore it. Tell yourself, it could not possibly be God, because God is loving. God would never tell you to kill someone. God would never undermine his own promise for Isaac. But Abraham knew God well. Abraham had walked with God for about 70 years by now. And he knows that God would never condone killing his own child, leave alone killing any child. He knew there was something more to this than the simple instruction God had given him. Even when his son asks him, "Daddy, where is the lamb?" What did Abraham say? "God will." Abraham knew there was something more than this. He tells his servants, "You guys stay here. Me and my son, we are going to go up together and worship God." He's not saying, "I'm going to go and butcher my son." He knew his God. "I'm going to go up there with my son and we are going to come back together." Relationships happen in a context, don't they? I loved it, Tony, when Tony said, "You've been together for 25 years. It's beautiful. And there are things Tony would have said, you understand way more than anyone here, isn't it? Because you take his words in a context of 25 years. Relationships happen in a context. Abraham knew what God was talking about. So what happens next? An angel calls out to him, stops him. Abraham looks and sees a ram caught in the thicket, which he then offers instead of Isaac, which now brings us to verse 14. That's when Abraham stands there, looks up to the heaven and says, "Jehovah Jireh." That's a Hebrew word. Yahuwah Ira. Yahuwah Ira. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. This morning, I just want to dwell on that phrase, preach on the topic, "I'm all in." And just dwell on that phrase, Jehovah Jireh. How many of you know what Jehovah Jireh means? What does it mean? Shout out. Provider. What does Yahuwah mean? Jehovah. God. Jireh provides. I had a shock of my life when I've been dwelling on this text for a couple, maybe 10 days. I had a shock of my life when I went back to the Hebrew text to see what does Jehovah Jireh mean. Jehovah was straightforward. Jehovah is an Exodus. I am who I am. Yahuwah. Yeah? Elohim is Lord. Two common names for God in the Old Testament. The inexplicable one, the indescribable one is Yahweh. And then Jireh actually means to see. It comes from the root word ra, which means to see. And those of you who like reading the Bible, my challenge to you is go back home, read Genesis 22, 1 to 14, and see how many times the word saw is there. Verses C, Abraham saw the mountain, Jireh, the mountain. So it kind of puzzled me. How does that mean? What does that then mean that Jehovah sees on this mountain of the Lord? It will be seen. How does this work? There are three words starting with P I want you to take home with me, with you today. The first word, pursue. Do you want to say it out loud? What's the first word? Pursue. There was once a man who was trapped on a roof during a flood. He was waiting to be rescued, but he was pretty clear he wanted God to rescue him if he existed. A helicopter came round, dropped a ladder to him and said, "Come on, get on the ladder." He said, no, I'm waiting for God to come and rescue me." The flood kept rising. There came a boat with, you know, bold letters written, "Rescue boat." He said, no, I'm praying. I'm waiting for God to come and rescue me." The water keeps rising. It's almost right up. A police, you know, boat comes by and he keeps saying the same thing. "I'm waiting for God to come and rescue me." Finally, there was a dog, a rescue dog who paddled up. And he told the dog as well, "I'm waiting for God to come and rescue me." The waters envelop him. He dies. He goes up to heaven. And God says, "What happened?" And he says, "Why didn't you show up?" God said, "I sent you four different people. I sent them to you." You were stubborn in your own ways. Pursue God who sees. There is a God of the Bible Abraham discovered. A God who sees. A God who sees. A God who watches over me. A God who watches me in my pain. A God who watches me in my pleasure. A God whose eyes are upon the sparrow and upon me. Abraham, as a nomad, once discovered, while he made idols and he sold idols, he discovered a voice from heaven to say, I am the one who created you. I want you to go forth into the land that I am going to show you. So Abraham hears and he responds. He discovered that there was a God who saw him when nobody saw him. A God who saw him. As life went on, Abraham messed up. This shocked me. I've been reading the life of Abraham the last couple of months. Did you know this man follows God? God calls him. He gives him great promises. And then when he's in trouble, this man lies like nobody's business. Twice. Two times some king fancies his wife. He gets scared. Pretty wife. What do I do? He says, no. She's my sister, you know. And these kings take her on. He messes up like nobody can. If it was my wife, first time I'd be out. He got a second chance and he still messed up. She's somewhere there. When I messed up, God saw me. When I got it wrong, God saw me. When I manipulated the plot. How many of you manipulate things when you're in trouble? You manipulate things. You manipulate people. You kind of say half lies and half truths. But no matter where I went, Abraham discovered Jehovah, Jireh. There is a God who sees me. No matter where I am. He discovered, until then he called him Elohim. You know, the God, the Lord, the King of Kings. But then he discovered this was Yahweh. Not a distant God, but a God who not only sees, but engages with me in no matter which situation I am. He's a God who constantly pursues me. For those of you who remember, Francis Thompson wrote this poem called The Hound of Heaven. He said, I fled him down the nights and I fled down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years. I fled him down the labyrinth ways. Off my mind and in the midst of tears, I fled him, but the hound of heaven pursued me. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible teaches us humanity, man, was created in the image and likeness of God to commune with God and to live in fellowship with God. Did you know that? That is how we were designed. My car is a diesel car. How many of you have got diesel cars? And this country sometimes discriminates diesel cars in fuel stations. They have lots of petrol, you know, whatever, tubes and pumps. But for the diesel one, there's only one. And then sometimes they put a yellow tag on it, says out of use. And I get cross, don't you? And then I think, why don't I put a bit of petrol in it? Why would it hurt? I had a little kid back home I used to look after. He was a funny kid. In India, you were allowed to spank your kids. And his dad spanked him like nobody's business. And then one afternoon, his dad is trying to get his bike. In India, you have motorbikes off. It just wouldn't start. And this four-year-old told his dad, don't worry, Dad, I put a lot of diesel in it for you. He filled it up with water. If your vehicle is designed to run on petrol and you fill it up with water, if your vehicle is designed to run on diesel and you say, stuff it, I'm going to put some petrol into it. If you were designed, you and I were designed to walk and live in fellowship and communion with God, but we humanity, we just like to find every crooked way out of it. A little bit of diesel won't hurt. A little bit of water won't hurt. Oh, I'll put whatever I can get into it. I find innovative ways to reject God. I find ways to deny his existence. I find ways out of my experiences to mistrust him and somehow project my anxiety on him as if it was all his fault. Oh, the games we play. Oh, the games we play. But heaven is constantly pursuing humanity. Heaven is constantly knocking on the door. I want you to remember the next time you wear a pair of trainers, I want you to know the truth is God is constantly pursuing us. In some shape or form. It could be a helicopter. It could be a rescue boat. It could even be a dog. But God is somehow constantly trying to catch my attention and your attention to say, I am your God. I'm willing to engage in your life. I want to be a part of your life. You were designed to live in fellowship and communion with me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing worthwhile. Please come. I'm willing to die on the cross of Calvary so that you might live the fullness of life. The first thing Abraham discovers again that morning is that this God is a God who pursues me. This is a God who is for me. He is absolutely for me. No matter what the trial I'm going through. Think of this. This manipulative, lying Abraham, he'd walked with God for 70 years. And on this occasion, he is absolutely certain that I can trust the character of God. Are you listening to me? I can trust the character of God. God never lies. God will never tell me to sacrifice my son. There is something else in this. If you are going through a trial which you cannot understand, you need to be confident in the character of God. Listen to this. How do I understand God? What do I understand what God looks like? The greatest revelation of God is Jesus Christ, who being in the very nature of God, he was the very essence of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he came and died on the cross for me and for you. And I say this over and over again. If you want to understand Scripture, the greatest revelation of God is Jesus Christ. Anything that does not look like Jesus, you've got it wrong. Are you getting me? You've got it wrong. You read the Old Testament. You read the New Testament. You go through life's experiences. You go through what people talk to you all the time about God. If it doesn't look like Jesus Christ on the Calvary, ladies and gentlemen, you've got it wrong. I know the character of my God. He's a God who's willing to pursue me even to the extent of giving up equality with God and dying for me on the cross. May I invite you to pursue him? May I invite you to obey him? Oh, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. May I invite you to the mountain of God? May I invite you to the presence of God? You can run all you like. You can give half-hearted obedience all you like. But oh, may I invite you to say, I am all in. I'm all in. All my chips are in. I want to pursue God because I know he pursues me. The first P I want you to take home, he pursues me. The second P is the obvious P, the provider. That God is a provider. Whilst the word Jireh means he sees, if you read the entire text, what actually it says is he sees to it. How many of you had bosses in where you kind of say, Ian, can you do this? Don't worry, boss, I'll see to it. Yeah, I'll get the job done. I'll get it sorted. That is the root meaning of the word. I'll see to it. I'll get it sorted. He's a God who gets it sorted. A God who sees to it. But the beauty of it, the beauty of it is that whilst God is sending Abraham to this mountain on a test, he'd already provided the ram, didn't he? He'd left it there. He'd already sorted it out. He'd already done the deal. Everything you and I need, God has already provided. What is my job and your job? It is to discover it. It's like the greatest Easter hunt game of life. If you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to applaud him, or if you will, because we constantly just go about discovering what God has for us. We constantly go about discovering things because he died on the cross. Every blessing in Christ Jesus has been provided to us. Let me tell you a story. The story of a student named John. And it's recounted by a man who was helping him because John was blind. One day, somebody asked John, how did you get blind? He said, at the age of 13, there was a chemical explosion. How did that make you feel? They asked him. And he said, life was over. I felt helpless. I hated God. For the first 6 months, I did nothing to improve my life. I ate all my meals alone in my room. One day, my father, a very wise man, walked directly into my room and said directly to me, John, winter is coming, and I need you to put up the storm windows like you do every year. Obviously, they live in America. He turned and walked out of the room and slammed the door. And John said, I was so angry. Who does he think I am? I am blind. I am so angry, and now I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it no matter what. So he found his way to the garage, stumbling, found all the tools, the windows. And all the time muttering under his breath, I'll show him. When I fall off the ladder, he'll have a blind and a paralytic son, and then he will know. Finally, when all the windows were hung, he discovered that his father was there was not a moment where his father was more than 2 feet away from him at each point in his life. Ladies and gentlemen, Abraham discovered that day that God has already provided for everything you and I need. He's inviting us into a journey of discovery. On the Mount of Calvary, Jesus died for me. Hallelujah. Where every sin is paid for. Every wrong that you and I can commit is paid for. Every accusation the enemy or anyone else can bring is paid for. Ephesians 1 and 3 says, blessed be the God of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. How many of you have appraisals at work? Do you call them appraisals? We call them PDRs, professional development reviews, where your boss calls you in and then the boss tells you how good you're doing in places you're not doing well. Have you been to one of those? I mean, if you're a married man, you get it all the time. My dinner's gone. You know, there are times I am so acutely aware of my deficits. You listening to me? I'll be open with you. Sometimes I'm a leader, so I can have I'm good at seeing things far off and saying, if we get there, 3 years down the road, this is coming, but we need to get there. And I can pick up a lot of stuff like that. I can see things and I can promise things. But then I suddenly realize that I've promised way too much than I can deliver. And so then I get in hot, sticky situations to say, you said this, where is it? Are you listening to me? And I've also discovered that I have the good ability to see things, but sometimes I'm not very organized and disciplined to get the team along and get them there. I'm a good leader sometimes, but not a very good manager. Have you been there? Some people are very good managers, very organized, but they can't see further down the road. Situations like that. I sit down on my knees and say, Lord Jesus, you died on the cross for me. You wouldn't have put me up this mountain. Are you getting me? You wouldn't have sent me on this errand if I was going to fall short. If you've sent me on this errand, I know there's a ram waiting for me in the thicket and I need to find it. Are you listening to me? If God has sent you to in a workplace, God has sent you into a relationship, where God has sent you into a situation, you find yourself in a place where you think you are wanting, you are found wanting, I need you to know that He is Jehovah Jireh who provides for you. He has already provided for you. There are times that things get trapped in the thicket. Have you been there? My provision is already there. When I look at my daughter, my daughter, she's full of life. She's full of life. She's bossy as bossy can be. And then I, as a dad, I sometimes fear, Lord, I just pray every bit of this would grow up until, you know, she reaches her maturity. Oh, there are times things happen to us where God has brought us with indefinite worth. God brought us into this world with amazing potential inside us. But things happen to us, don't they? Childhood gets in the way. Things that people let us down. Things happen to us. Satan plays the fool. But things happen and things get trapped in the thicket where I then am groping in the dark. It is already provided for you. The ram is already in the thicket. Just because you can't see it, just because you can't feel it, it doesn't mean it's not there. If God has sent you, He's got the provision for you. Are you willing to go up the mountain? Are you listening to me? Are you willing to go up the mountain? You'll tell me, Sam, this job is difficult. You have no idea. Sam, you have no idea what my relationship looks like. Sam, you have no idea what the situation looks like. Sam, you have no idea what they've done to me. Sam, you have no idea things that have happened to me. But if God has invited you to go up this mountain, are you willing to obey? Because lots of times we miss out on God's provision because we are not willing to go up the mountains God wants us to go. We complain it's too difficult. We come argue and try and put logic in front of it to say, Lord, I'm too tired. Lord, you don't know this. And Lord, you don't know that. Would you just obey and do what the Lord tells you to do? Often these days people say, yoga is good for you, isn't it? They say a bit of meditation helps you discover yourself. New Age has ways to say a bit of close your eyes and keep quiet and have some nice calm music will help you discover yourself. The Bible teaches me, unless with God's help, the rams that are in your thicket will never come out. You might find the tips and the tails. You will never achieve significance in life without God. You might make some money. You might get on TV. You might kind of have some kinds of objects and possessions. But you will never achieve anything of significance without the Lord. Amen. You will never achieve anything beyond the grave without the Lord. You will never live up to who you are meant to be. You will never achieve your fullest potential without the Lord. You're designed to live with God. Apart from Him, you can do nothing. So come up the mountain. Come up the mountain. I brought some apples here. The next time you eat some apples, Newton didn't invent the law of gravity, did he? He discovered it. When the apple fell to the floor, there are things God has for you that He's waiting for you to discover. There are provisions for you that He's waiting for you to discover. The challenge is, will you obey Him? Even when it is difficult. Even when you kind of say, my brain doesn't compute it. Will you pursue Him? Will you obey Him? Will you follow Him? The final one before we wrap this up. If you guess what this is, you can come to my house for lunch today. I've got a beautiful leg of lamb. And it's one of those, I went and bought it from a farm. A Shetland lamb reared, beautiful piece of meat in the slow cooker. Could you tell me what this is? I'm making it really hard for you. Oh, who said that? You've got to come for dinner now. It's a parachute. I asked Bev to make me a parachute. And this is what Bev made me. Sorry? At this rate, I might well be. She'll be pushing me off it. The final one I want you to take home. The first one is pursue. Pursue God. The second one is God provides. Provision is actually discovering what God already has for you. And the third one I want you to take home is a parachute. The other day, somebody sent me a video of a guy jumping off an airplane on a paragliding thing. And then he's got this thing to record himself. Dare I tell you what happens to him? Because just at the moment to jump off, he couldn't do it. So he's clinging on to it. He's doing everything to it. And the instructor is saying, you're going to put all of us down to death. You either get all into it or back out completely. Parachute reminds you that I'm all in. I'm all in. For Abraham was not really ever all in, was he? Because when there was a difficult situation, he'd manipulate it. You know, the baby God promised wasn't coming around, so he went and slept with Hagar. You know, if I have to lie, I lie a bit. He saw some financial provision coming from the king of Sodom. So, you know, he'll manipulate things to get what he needs and help God along the way. But Isaac was the defining moment. In his absolute old age, when it was absolutely impossible to have a baby, God did something for him. And that was his defining moment. Some of us have a lot of defining moments, don't we? And then we rationalize it. My father was a Hindu. To become a Christian means you get beaten up, they chuck you out of the home. It's a lot of hassle. So somebody came and gave him a Bible. He tore it up, threw it, and said, get out of my house, never come into my house with it. And then things happened. He decided to kill himself. So he went to jump in front of a train track. And this, he tells me, just as he's waiting for this train, and he had a vision of a strange man on a cross. And he said, I just sat there looking at this man on the cross. He was bleeding. And he said, my heart was filled with peace I could not imagine. And then he said, I don't know how long I waited there. And then the man disappeared. I went home. He was depressed, but now he says, I'm full of peace. Defining moment. But then he thought, it could be I'm depressed. When people are depressed, they hallucinate, don't they? Can't be true. But then he said, you know, I trouble the Christians a lot. I throw stones at their church when they're trying to meet. I do everything I can to disrupt their gatherings, so I'll stop doing that. A few months down the road, the same thing happens to him. He is back at the train track. He'd forgotten all about this. But believe it or not, the same man on the cross comes. And this time it hits him. So he goes and secretly buys a Bible. He starts reading the Bible. The more he read the Bible, he realized this God is the God of who made heaven and earth. So he started quietly sneaking into churches when nobody was watching, because he couldn't let any of his Hindu friends know that he was going into a church. And at some point, he decided to give his life to Jesus. Defining moment number two. Have you had defining moments? Moments where you were captivated and realized, this God is real. If you haven't, I want you to reach out to God and say, Lord, I want to know you. But then be prepared to accept the truth. My father still didn't accept it. The final place was he then had some difficult times. His family beat him up, threatened all sorts of things. So he decided to quit. But he said, I'm not going back to the train track. This weird guy on the cross is going to show up. So he got sleeping pills this time. He took 50 sleeping pills, arranged everything under his mattress for his cremation and all the rest of it. And just as he was about to take these pills, there was a visitor in town, a 72-year-old woman who'd just come into town. The Lord told her, X number of doors away, there's a guy who's trying to kill himself. I need you to go there now. He'd left the door unlocked. She comes in, slams the door open. He's got pills in his hand. And this is what she tells to him. What right do you have to take the soul that I have given you, says the Lord. And then she recounts everything that happened in his life. My father came to his knees and he said, I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm all in. For about 50 years, he's been a preacher of the gospel. The Lord has helped him lead hundreds of people to the Lord. This last week, he's been speaking, where's Binil? He's been speaking to Binil's brother in Kerala and praying with him. Do you know defining moments where I'm all in. I'm all in. I am all in. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time that we get rid of our half-hearted responses to God. It is time where we stand up and say, Father, I'm all in. Father, I'm all in. I want you to know that, Lord, I serve at your pleasure. Whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do. Whatever you ask me to do, I'm going to do. The next time there's a difficulty at work, I'm not going to panic. You know why? If my job goes, it goes. Because he is my provider. Next time something goes way, you know, out of plan and out of sync, I'm not going to panic. You know why? Because he is my provider. He is the one who pursues me. I live and serve at his pleasure. Let me finish with a final illustration from my own life. How many of you struggle with money? I didn't grow up with a lot of money. My father was crazy. He gave all his money out because he wanted to make sure the gospel was proclaimed. So I struggled. So every month we kind of, Bev and I talk about money sometimes. And this summer we realized, and I said to Bev, we're earning more, but there's nothing much in there. Where are all the savings? And I felt the Lord, not the first time the Lord has told me, said, give it all away. Whatever is in there, give it all away. And I'm saying, there's nothing there. I've got kitchen extension to build next summer. If I give it all away, where will I know better now? I know better now. If the Lord asks me to chuck it all in, I'm there. Are you listening to me? I've had my defining moments. I've had my defining moments. I know that I don't have anything in my life that I have not received from him. I know if you know my story, you know that I wouldn't stand here in front of you had it not been for the Lord. Had it not been for the Lord, most of you wouldn't be sitting here. What are you on about? Come on, ladies and gentlemen, put it all in. Put it all in. Put it all in and tell the Lord, I live at your pleasure. I serve at your pleasure. Whatever you ask me to do, I shall do with much joy. Last month we looked at our bank balance and I suddenly discovered there's more money there. The income didn't change. Something shifted. Ladies and gentlemen, start listening to the Lord. Start listening to the Lord. Whatever you have belongs to the Lord. Abraham stood there and said to the Lord, I'm all in. Jehovah Jireh. He's the God who sees and he's the God who provides. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. May I invite you to come to the mountain of the Lord. A mountain where you need to make some decisions today. If you've never given your life to Jesus, may I invite you to the mountain of the Lord and invite Jesus to be your Lord and Savior.